First reading this morning is a reflection from my colleague David Blanchard titled, Listening for Our Song.
On sabbatical in East Africa, I heard a story of a people who believe that we are each created with our own song. Their tradition as a community is to honor that song by singing it as welcome when a child is born, as comfort when a child is ill, in celebration when the child marries, and in affirmation and love when death comes. Most of us were not welcomed into the world that way. Few of us seem to know our song. It takes a while for many of us to figure out which is our song and which is the song that others would like us to sing. Some of us are slow learners. I heard my song not necessarily from doing extraordinary things in exotic places, but also from doing some pretty ordinary things in some routine places. For every phrase I heard climbing Kilimanjaro, I learned another in a chair in a therapist's office. For every measure I heard in the silence of a retreat, I heard another laughing with my girls. For every note I heard in the wind on the beach at Lamu, I gleaned more from spending time with a dying friend as her children sang her song back to her. What came to astound me was not that the song appeared, but that it was always there. I figure that the only way I could have known it was my own was if I had heard it before. Before memory went to work making sense and order of the mystery of our beginning. Our songs sing back to us something of our essence, something of our truth, and something of our uniqueness. When our songs are sung back to us, it is not about approval, but about recognizing our being and our belonging in the human family. It is good to know our songs by heart for those lonely times when the world is not singing them back to us. That's usually a good time to start humming to yourself that song that is most your own. They can be heard as songs of love or of longing, songs of encouragement or of comfort, songs of struggle or serenity. But most of all, they are the songs of life, giving testimony to what has been and giving praise for all we're given and giving hope for all we strive for, giving voice to the great mystery that carries each of us in and out of this world.
Our second reading comes in two parts. Both are from a series of lectures Barbara Brown Taylor gave on preaching at Yale Divinity School in 1977, which were later published as When God is Silent. The second of these short passages is on the responsibility to listen, and given that it comes from a Christian preacher, includes some theological language that may or may not be your own. I trust, however, I hope that you will hear in it the universal. The first passage is a small infectious pearl on the power of giving voice to something. It has stayed with me echoing in my mind since I first read it, and I want to infect you with it now. In the moments before a word is spoken, anything is possible. In the moments before a word is spoken, anything is possible. Even now, some Christians have trouble speaking, she continues. Even now, some Christians have trouble listening to God. Many of us prefer to speak. Our corporate prayers are punctuated with phrases such as, "Hear us, Lord," or, "Lord, hear our prayer," as if the burden to listen were on God and not us. The responsibility to listen. We have been reflecting this month on various aspects of what it is to listen. Certainly listening is an art form more than a science. There is no secret to why, at least I call our time of silent reflection in the middle of our service the center of our time together. That, and when the choir sings, that's when the magic happens. At least when I'm preaching, I am clear. As good as I may want to be, as good as I may be, that's where the magic is. I remember hearing a radio interview with Karen Armstrong in which she said, you know, the mystics between age to age don't say very much. They just keep their ears open and listen with everything they've got. I like that approach. I like that approach. And so the center of our time is a time of stillness, a time for your thoughts to wander or deflect on the meaning of your days. This is commentary. And so especially as I have some words on listening today, my words will be few. This reflection will be brief. The silence is where the magic happens. During my first pastorate, I think because they wanted to test the brand new minister, Green, very much behind the ears, we would, and the congregation was used to 5 minutes of silence. The person before me, the interim, stretched them for 5 minutes of silence in the middle of the service. And to convey to me that they really didn't appreciate and didn't want that to continue, there were people in the congregation, wonderful, loving, deserving people, who would balance their checkbooks during the silent meditation. I am not making that up. There were two of them, but I won't name them. I think we wore them down after a time because the quiet is the center. Many of my colleagues hold that time until the Spirit moves them. If I were to do that with you, we might never get out of here, or you would be leaving long before I'm ready to start talking. Show and tell, this is my trusty little clock. We do a minute and 45 seconds here, just so you know. I shared that show and tell at the first service. I owe you the same courtesy. David Blanchard is concerned that we listen to our song. Barbara Brown Taylor in those reflections is concerned that what is silent is the voice of God. And as a Christian woman, this concerns her. Because surrounding us is a cacophony of noise, much of our own making. She talks about how language has been burdened and used. You go to the grocery store and it advertises vine-ripe tomatoes. And you take it home and you bite into a mealy mush. So we need to be careful about what we say. Because this may be a time of, well, she uses the word famine, going back to this passage from the book of Amos in the Jewish Bible. The time is surely coming, says the Lord God, when I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread or a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea, from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. Taylor feels that that is the age that we are in, or at least those words describe our present condition, as she listens for the voice of God. And in those three essays, I don't exactly get a sense of what she's looking for, what she expects the voice of God to be. In a more current book that came out last fall, which I quoted from back then a little bit, she's finding that voice in daily living. And I think we do hear, if not the voice of God, the voice of the world quite readily. After the first service, someone said, you know, it's not the most beautiful song, but I heard red-winged blackbirds this week. Spring is on the way. And it is. It is. I don't know about you, but I consider myself one of the folks that David Blanchard would say has a hard time hearing their song. And we've talked about listening to our enemies, but I find the hardest voice to listen to is that voice that comes from here. And I need all the help I can to get there. Anybody else? Anybody else a bit like that? Oh, good. I'm not completely alone. Thank you. And the rest of you, I'm going to be listening to you next week. There's something we do here in this congregation. It's a way we come together to listen. We do this sometimes in the hallways, sometimes in our offices, often in our covenant groups and in the new Wellspring group, where we try just to hold what a person has to say, trusting that if the container is there for people, they will speak themselves into greater understanding. In Wellspring, we use this phrase, and this is from taken hook, line, and sinker from the Quaker writer Parker Palmer. No fixing, no saving, no advising, no setting each other straight. Want to hear that again? No fixing, no saving, no advising, no setting each other straight. Now, years ago, I think this may have even been before I was in seminary, I was talking to someone who was just new to our congregation, was learning about the time in the late 50s and early 60s, the time when the Unitarians and the Universalists merged, when two denominations became one. And they had friends that were part of the Society of Friends, the Quakers, and they felt a great sympathy with those and that approach. And they were wondering, and just forthrightly asking over coffee hour, when the Unitarian Universalists and the Quaker might merge. People like us who can't stop talking? And the Quakers who listen like no one else on earth? I don't see that happening. But we take and we give. We take and we give. Palmer talks about the two components to learning to be held, that we, in order to hear the voice, he uses the term the voice of our soul. I try to use that word sparingly. It means so much and so little all at once. But he talks about how we need both solitude and community. He talks about the solitude of being in touch with our soul, whether we're with people or not, but solitude is never leaving that place, never losing that touch with what is deepest in us. And community, you can well imagine. And he says we need community, and this is worth hearing, I hope, because we are communal creatures who need each other's support. And because, left to our own devices, we have an endless capacity for self-absorption and self-deception. And because of those, community is essential. When I ask myself where I first heard my song, harking back to David Blanchard's reading earlier that Judith shared with us, I think it was some in my parents. I think it was some in my teachers. I know it was in the voice of the congregation who responded with laughter when I was in confirmation class up here with three of my colleagues, friends, 13 years old, when I was asked point blank why I come to church, and I said, my parents make me. And the congregation responded just like that. And I said, well, if that was okay with them, then they're okay people to be with. The echo I heard, I grew up in a valley, and you could shout and hear your echo back. So many times, like I'm sure many, if not all of you, you feel that your voice, people want to hear this from you. People want to hear that from you. What we need is a place for our own voice to come out and join with others. We are enriched when our own depth is encouraged and when we are blessed with the depth of other people. You know it. I know you know it. But sometimes it's good to be reminded. We're here to learn to listen. We're here to learn to speak with care and integrity and courage. We're here to listen with all those same skills. Ain't it great we have the choir too? Thank you. Thank you.